Our little message is a very simple little message this morning. Just a little reminder. We need reminders along the way. Over in one of the chapters it says, I want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembering some things. But before we start, I want to express a little feeling that I have. And it came to me, reminded me of how I felt when I was teaching the children back here in school. And there was times I would look over at them and I would see they were struggling. Now, I'm not saying that I'm looking at you and seeing you're struggling. I'm just saying that's how it was when I was working in the school. I could look on their face. I could tell when their mind was somewhere else. I could tell when they were having problems with their work. And there would be something rise up in me. And I can still feel it. It was compassion. You know, we all probably remember our days in school and our struggles, our times that we didn't quite understand how to do a problem or something like that. And we can probably look back at certain teachers and say, oh, that was a good teacher. Well, what I would do, I would pull my chair up beside that student and I would sit there and work with them until they understood it. There's a lot of satisfaction in that. And it helps that child. And so this morning, that's the feeling that I have in my heart for you. It's just a few of us, but you know how I wish we were sitting? I wish we were all on the same pew. And that we were all just feeling a compassion for one another. That's how I feel for you this morning. I'm thinking about Paul. And when I say that I don't know your struggles, I really don't, but I know God does. But in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 12, this is what it said, how Paul was feeling. We would not have you ignorant of our trouble. It's not very often that we come to prayer meeting or to service at all and we pour out all of our troubles. It's not very often we feel comfortable enough to do that. But he said, we would not have you ignorant of our troubles which came on us. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much we despaired of life. Have you ever despaired of life? Probably we won't necessarily admit that, but there's been times of despair. And I think we all understand a feeling of despair. Paul understood it. I don't think I've ever come to prayer meeting and given his testimony as my testimony. I might have felt like I could, but I haven't done it. And he went so far as to say, we just felt despair of life. In this particular passage, it's referring to Paul and Timothy. And you know what they were going through? Persecution. So, you know, there's a scripture that says, we have not striven unto blood. We haven't. We have lived a relatively peaceful life all of our lives. Our country has basically been a peaceful place to live. We've had freedoms that other countries have not had. We've been able to meet together freely without fear, haven't we?
Yes.
All of our life.
Yes.
Oh, we've heard little rumblings in the background when we were growing up, this and that, and had certain air raids at school where we went and got in the hallway and took positions of protection. We had those that hovered over us, but we never have striven unto blood. And Paul and Timothy don't say that they shed any blood in this place. They're describing their emotions or their feelings or the things that were happening to them made them feel as though they were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired of life. Paul wrote again in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10. He says, we were troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We were perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Okay, in their persecutions, they still felt the presence of the Lord. We felt cast down, but not destroyed. So we may pass through places that such as is described here, but there's something but. I'm not destroyed, but I'm not in despair, but I'm not forsaken. Let's always have a but when we say, oh, I am just so, I don't even want to say the word. The devil is an oppressor. And he wants to oppress us. But we have a but. We're not forsaken. We're not in despair. We resist despair. And we are not destroyed. But can we always remember that there is a but? So anyway, I want to open to our minds a little two-way street this morning. This is just a simple little thought this morning, but it comforted me. So as we begin, I want to address God's side. When there's a two-way street, that means there's two people interacting and having a relation. Isn't that what that represents? So the thought came to me like this. From the moment God becomes my Lord and Savior and my God and Redeemer, from the moment that that happens, and as I had that thought, I said, no, it was even before that moment. There's something that preceded that place where I gave my heart, my life to the Lord. I repented of my sins. The burden fell off of me as it did Christian and fell into the abyss. And Christian said, I know it's gone, but it's like a man with a hat on. You still feel like it might be there. Something happened even before then. So we want to talk about Isaiah 49 and 16. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hand. We forget that, don't we? We get so busy with the cares of life. We forget that your name, my name, is engraven upon the palm of his hand. Then verse 15, above that it says, can a mother forget her child, that she should not have compassion on the child of her womb? And the answer is yes, they can. A mother can forget a child, and we're living in a world where love is not the kind of love God created in a woman for a child. We're living in a different time. But the answer is a mother can forget, and then he says, yet, or but I won't forget you. I think about the scripture that was above Cheryl's bed that she stood on and held to. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we have all quoted that all of our life. But he proves it to us. From time to time, when we feel very alone or we don't feel his presence, will we always feel his presence? Will we always hear his voice? No. But we walk by faith and not by sight and not by feelings. And we believe the word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is God's part. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 1 and 5. Turn over there. I believe that's the scripture. Yes. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee, speaking of Jeremiah, a prophet unto the nations. Do you think that God knew you before you were born? You know, we've said this. We've spoken of this song many, many times down through the years. Ever since I heard it, I still remember. We were having a special singing here in this congregation, and it was Brother Willie and Sister Nita, and their daughter got up here and sang it, and I had never heard it before, but I have never forgotten it. When I was on the cross... No, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Now, that's a little bit hard to take in, but we can claim it, that he was thinking of all of mankind, and that included us. And so centuries go by, generations go by, and there comes a generation where you are a part, and he knows you before you were born. I look at these little children. Well, I was looking at a picture of the Guthrie Camp Meeting in 1940, 6. I was 1 year old. And my great aunt that I've told you all about, she's holding me in her arms. And I have white hair. They called me Cotton Top. Well, now I'm almost 80. And many years have gone by since that picture. And my life unfolded. And I have said that a man had to die for me to be born, because my mother was married and had 3 children, and her husband died. If he had not died, I could not have been born. She married my father and I was born. I've been thinking about my life, how I lived my life, the example that I was down through my life. You probably wouldn't really know me. But from a little girl, I said, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. There was something in my heart. I believe God planted something in my heart, because for 30 years, I really didn't follow the ways of the Lord. And then when I did, God was looking way down in the future. Lorne was counted as a very wild person. I won't go into the details of all he did. That for 15 years, all of Jan's life, he was not saved. So, and I told in my message recently how Brother Souter would tell us to be careful how we prayed. And God knew what it would take. Recently, Sarah found the VCR tape of when 5 of us ministers were ordained at Monarch, 1995. And I'm glad that we found it so I could hear it, and I know now all I vowed to. But those vows have kept me. Lorne was sitting beside me at the altar. Dan Gillenbeck was sitting next to Angela. And there were 3 others in that group that were ordained then. God knew. He knew me before I was born. And he looked way down in the future and he saw, I needed a man like Lorne that would support the ministry of God. So I've been thinking about all of those kind of things. So he knew me before I was born. I want to read another scripture over in Psalms 103. Oh, there's so much in the Word of God that should encourage us and that should be the lifter up of our heads. 103, I'm going to read 10 through 14. Remember, we're still talking about God's part. God hath not dealt with me after our sins. I'm paraphrasing it and personalizing it. Nor has he rewarded me according to my iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And he knoweth our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. I am so thankful that God is this way with us, that he proves himself, he manifests himself to us day by day, all of our life. Life changes. We change. Our strength changes. Our minds change. As we get older and we change, God is there with us. Oh, he wants to be with you today for the rest of your life. In every, I look at Damon, I look at Ben and Amanda, they're young. They have a young family. I was once there. Some of you were too. And we went through all of the changes. And God was there through it all. You know, there's a song that says, through it all. Yes. Through it all. I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to, what's the next part? I learned what?
I learned to trust in God.
It was line upon line, precept upon precept. It wasn't just God dumping it all out on me at one time, or you. It was little by little. And you and I began to know him, be familiar with him. We learned his still small voice. We were enlightened. We were blessed. We were... I'm still talking about God's part in all of this. That he looked on us and he said, I know they're just human beings and they're just dust of the earth. And he was long-suffering and merciful. I mean, I'm... We're just a few here, but I want to tell you, the Lord looked on Dennis Wilson in the same way. And when he got saved, you know what he said to me? I'm so glad you didn't give up on me. God didn't give up on him either. God was looking way down. He knew his heart. Isn't that precious? I find it so precious. So I want to consider just for a little bit my side. I play a part in this. I started out and I said, it's a two-way street. And I play a part. And this thought came to me. My part is ever onward. There's no stopping place. There's no place for getting off or turning back or turning around or giving up. There's just no place. I'm just up here with that Kleenex again. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, right here, sir. Thank you. My part is ever upward. My part is ever learning. There's no place for me to graduate and say, I've mastered it. I know it all. I've learned it all. To the day we leave this world, we're going to be learning. That's my part. Another one I wrote down here is we're ever, forever receiving. Because God is forever giving. Psalm 73. We're going to be looking at verses 23 and 26 and 28. 23 through 26. It says, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me by my right hand. This is a psalm of David. And it says, thou shalt guide me and receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And that thought came to me early this morning. The world that we are living in, the scripture also says that we're just pilgrims and strangers, and we're just passing through. And this world is not our home. And if it were, we'd be putting far more confidence in a candidate. But who do we have on earth? It says, who do I have in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth I desire besides thee. It goes on and it says, God is the rock of my heart. And then this little thought I want to build on a little bit. It says, it is good for me to draw near to God. Yeah. I put full trust in the Lord God, and that I may declare all of thy works. I want to tell you something. It's my part to draw close to the Lord. But he responds. He is a responder. Over in James 4 and 8, it says, draw near to God. And then I put the question there, will he respond? How do you draw near to God? Well, there's lots of ways for us to draw near to God. And it's in all of our work, work too. But it's in our daily spiritual exercises. It says, pray without ceasing. There's this song that I've probably mentioned it already, and it's about this man wrote it. He's, the older I get, and he tells all of the things that's different about the older that he gets, and he says, the older I get, the more I pray. Yeah. I guess it's just because I have more to say. Oh. We might feel that way, and we may do our prayer, we may do our morning devotions, and we may pour out our heart, and yet we get up and we may have more to say. I do. There's lots of things, and that's drawing near to God because we know he's the one that can answer our prayers. Nobody else can. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Yeah.
And there's no one else down here that I would want greater than you. And so it says, when I said to myself, will God respond if I draw near to him? Yes. The scripture says he will do his, now I'm adding to it, he will do his part and he will draw near to me. If I do my part, he does his part. Isn't that precious? God is our great helper. He's our advocate with the Father. You know, what is an advocate? It is one that supports, stands up for, defends. There are people that are advocates in our court. Maybe for children. And so they go to the court and they stand up for a defenseless person or child. Maybe you and I can become defenseless. In this world where the enemy is raging, do we need an advocate? Yes, and he becomes our advocate. It also says that he's our great high priest, whose chief ministry for each of us is through intercession. How many of us pray and run out of words? Have you ever run out of words? Or you feel like your words are inadequate? I do. And when I reach those places, now Brother Ostis has said in his message, and I like this, he says, when you run out of words, start all over. Yeah. Just start back at the beginning. Sometimes we feel like we're repeating. But we have the Word of God that says, in essence what it says that if you run out of words, the Holy Spirit will start making groanings and utterings for you. And do you ever pray that way? Lord, I feel like that I have run out of words. I don't know what more to say. Would you please hear the Holy Spirit groan for me? Did you know he'll do it? That's his part. Our imperfected petitions. That's another thing Brother Ostis will say. He will say, you just talk to the Lord. You can tell the Lord anything. Yeah. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Can you pour out your heart? I mean, in the Sunday school this morning, there were scriptures that spoke about him being a discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And he knows everything about us anyway. So we're troubled in our mind, and we're maybe, as Paul, we're distressed, and he knows it. God knows it. And he knows how to help us. Thank the Lord. So his chief ministry is interceding for you. Who is our interceder and advocate? Jesus Christ. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And we've already said that your name is graven on his hand. And he knows your heart, and he knows your burden, and he knows your care. And he's speaking to the Father for you and me right now. Does that comfort you? It comforts me. So I'm thankful this morning for the Holy Spirit that can make intercessions and can make groanings. I want to do Hebrews 10, verses 22 and 23. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance that faith brings. Now, I've worded that in sort of my own words there, but that's what it means. Let's draw near to God with an assurance and a sincere heart. Yeah. And then we want to look at, as a final scripture, in Psalm 69, verse 18. And at the top of this chapter, it says that it's a psalm of David, and it's entitled, A Petition for God to Draw Near. I believe he wants us to seek him to draw near to us as we try to draw near to him. And so this scripture, it says, draw near to my soul and redeem it. That was David's cry. But the chapter there is a petition that God draw near to me. I want to draw near to him. There is a song. I had a couple of verses that I wanted to read. It's a 247, and it has the title of it is very similar to our burden this morning, Draw Me Nearer. Blessed Savior, draw me nearer as I walk the narrow way. When my soul is sorely tempted, thou wilt all my fears allay. Verse 4, when I'm passing through the furnace, I draw near, my Lord, to thee, as I hear thee gently whisper, closer come, my child, to me. Blessed Jesus, wilt thou keep me near thy side, thy bleeding side? Draw me near, loving Savior. Let me in thy love abide. Isn't that a precious? Oh, that song is precious. Let us draw near, and he will draw near to us. Thank the Lord. I desire to draw near to my loving Savior. Amen. Pray for me.